Then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in the like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their gods. Sorry, fellas, I forgot to turn that on. There we go. Tremendous, tremendous teaching in all of these different verses here. We're talking about the freedom from bondage. Freedom from bondage, that's what this whole study is all about. And God has a game plan. God has a plan for your life. He's got a plan for my life. And many times our plan intersects with each other. And our plan affects each other. And so as we get into this, we'll begin to kind of see how his plan affects everyone. God sends Moses to deliver his message. We've covered this. God has sent us to deliver his message too. And we all understand that. God did not choose the world to send his message. He chose us. God has a plan. And we are part of that plan. Now, Thutmose the third, he was the dominant pharaoh, probably ruled during Moses' early years when he was growing up, but he was now dead. And then Amenhotep, or however you want to pronounce it, Amenhotep the second, he was the new pharaoh. When Moses comes back and during the Exodus here for you history buffs. But this Pharaoh, and you can kind of see it in the image that's portrayed of him, he is only about 22 years of age. He was a very young man. And Moses is 80. Now, that doesn't seem too important to us, but it was to them. In those days, age was really respected. I mean, when we grew up, you respected your elders. I think we forgot to teach our kids that. Because today, it doesn't make any difference. But can you imagine when Moses is 80 years old and he confronts a man in his 20s who believed himself to be a god? Moses was asserting that his god was demanding Pharaoh as a lesser god to obey him and allow these people to be freed. You have to almost just sit there and dwell on that a minute. Here this old man comes in, says he's representing the God, the greatest God, and Pharaoh, this young buck, 22 years of age, that believes he's a God, and he is telling this God, you have to obey. Now, that's not going to go over too good. So what's Moses thinking here? He's going in before the most powerful man in the world. And all along, Moses has had doubts and fears and questioning his ability and questioning his thinking, questioning his mouth and all of this. And God's tried to reassure him. But this same guy, he comes in to a young fella. Now put yourself in this young fella's. He's supposed to respect age. It's the way they're brought up. But But he thinks he's a god. And he's the top god, the top dog in Egypt, and is thinking the world. And yet this old guy comes in and says, no, my God that sent me is greater than you are. Now watch what it says in verse number 1. God says, I have made thee, talking about Moses, a god to Pharaoh. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Now, God's not saying that Moses literally became a deity. He did not become a god. But as he comes in representing his God, in Pharaoh's eyes, he's thinking something different here. He is the authority. He's in the role of bringing this God to Pharaoh's attention here. So it really begins to cause problems, and this is a demand. This is not a request. So the Egyptians, they believed that Pharaoh was divine. So all of his people that were working with him as advisors and everybody, they thought he was the God. And yet here comes Moses in the court. And he's basically putting his thumb on this guy and saying, hey, you're not as big as you think you are. For God to say that Moses would be like a god unto Pharaoh, it means that Moses would be recognized. Doesn't mean that he became a god, but he would be recognized in the mind of Pharaoh as that divine authority. He's coming with as an ambassador from his God. So Pharaoh's going to recognize that he's coming with great authority, just as if Pharaoh would send one of his representatives to another country with a message. He has that authority. So it's not a problem of this is just some old man that's come in. He says, I'm making him understand that you are my authority. So he recognizes this. So what we have is Moses, God, the great I am. He is there, and he's claiming superiority. Then you have Pharaoh, and Pharaoh claims to be God, but he is lesser in Moses' proclamation here. So Pharaoh then would consider Moses as the authority, just like he would send out his ambassadors, his magicians and things like this. So he's understanding that he's the authority. Now, you have the magicians. They are the authority that Pharaoh would send out. So he's in that same plane with these magicians. Now, you have the I am. What Moses does is he comes and says, the I am, the great and only sovereign God, demands that you, Pharaoh, submit and obey him. The message that I'm bringing, you must submit and you must obey the power that I am representing. So this is a serious thing here. In the Egyptian world, Moses would be asserting that God is superior to Pharaoh as a god. And he should be obeyed by him. Moses, he claims to be the ambassador for a higher power. What do you do when you go out witnessing? Do you realize That's exactly what we do. We are representing the higher power, greater than any God, greater than anything that they can put up. And we are not just requesting, we're demanding that they repent of their sins and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He goes on and he says, Aaron, he's going to be a prophet. He said, and Aaron, thy brother, shall be thy prophet. In other words, he's going to speak for Moses. He's the ambassador's aide there, you might say. But it shows the structure of that particular ministry and the authority. You have God, the great I am. Then you have Moses. He receives God's word and command. Then you have Aaron. He becomes the mouthpiece for Moses. Much like the prophet interprets and delivers a message of divine essence here, the divine source. And then you have the message given to the lesser, who is Pharaoh. And so I want you to think that through as you go home, and I put it together in several different ways so that you can get a hold of just the actual impact of what's going on here. Lesser, Pharaoh was, in God's eyes, nothing. And that's what Moses is coming in and putting this on him. But God gives us the command to go and witness. It's a command of God. It's not a request. God commands us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He delivered the words of God. That's what we're supposed to do, is deliver the word of God. He's going to Pharaoh, one that is nothing really. He's just a lost man. And he's supposed to obey that word. Now, does he? No. But does all the people that you witness to get saved? No. And they're not gonna. But we are just as responsible as Moses to deliver the message and the way God says to deliver the message. And their response has no bearing on the situation. We are God's ambassadors. We are God's messengers. Now, he gives a command there in verse number 2, thou shalt speak all that I command thee. Again, this is not, go and see if you can negotiate with Pharaoh. No, he said, I'm commanding you, this is what you're going to go, and this is what you're going to speak. He said, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, and that he send the children of Israel, notice, out of his land, out of Egypt. And if you look in your Bibles at the maps in the back, you'll find out that they're totally wrong. Over and over, just in this passage we've read this morning, and we could go through other passages and chapters and over, and for years I had no idea that, I just read past it. He says, out of Egypt. You're going to perform these miracles in Egypt. But he said, I'm going to have him send you out of Egypt. You are going to go out of Egypt. He says, take the children of land out of this land. And your maps show the Sinai down in Egypt. They'll show the Sinai Peninsula. That's all Egypt. That's not out of Egypt. And there's no way out of Egypt from there. And so as God takes them out of Egypt to Mount Sinai, which the Bible says in the New Testament is over there in Syria, or not Syria, where am I? My mind just went blank. Anyway, it's right out of, on the other side there of the Gulf of Aqaba, that's where that's at, out of Egypt. And so don't just read over these things. Let God show you some things. Moses is God's spokesman. Even though Moses was a just man, Pharaoh would view Moses in respect of and to his God. He'd fear the message that Moses was bringing because it was from a God. In his mind, it was a God, but we know it as the God. Now, like Moses, when we carry God's message, we are not alone. God is with us. God's power is with us. And in several different ways. And I want you to understand this, because so many times that when we tell people to go witnessing and they just kind of think, well, they're going out there by themselves. Moses, when he was going in the power of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. Listen, God says, I gave you the power the moment you got saved. When you receive the Holy Spirit of God, you have the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Moses said when he went before Pharaoh. You have the power of the word. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, my life verse. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, not me, not any degree, not Bible knowledge, not it, the gospel, is the power of God into salvation. The word of God, that's where you got the gospel. He said the word of God, that power of God comes from the gospel. So as you have the Holy Spirit, then as you have the word of God, the gospel, then the third thing, the power of preaching. That's what we do when we witness. We go out and we preach the gospel, whether it's to an individual, whether it's to a group, it doesn't make any difference. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us that are saved, it is the what? Power of God. It's the power of God. So as we're going out, he gives us the Holy Spirit, which is the power of God himself. Then he gives us the gospel. We're carrying that message, which is the power of God and the salvation. Then he gives us the ability to preach and just simply tell people the gospel. That's the power of God. And then in 1 Corinthians 1:24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and the Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. How many of you have Jesus Christ living in your heart? What do you have? There's no excuse for not witnessing. You say, well, I can't. You're saying God's powerless. He said, look, I gave you the Holy Spirit. He indwells you. He lives within you, the power of God. I've given you the gospel. It's not how intelligent you are. It's the gospel is the power of God. He said, I've given you that opportunity to go out and preach, to tell somebody. Anybody can witness. Have I ever talked to you? Did we have a problem communicating? Then we can communicate the gospel to anyone. And he says, if we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, he is the power of God. Everything that Moses had, we have. And if he can walk up to the most powerful person on the earth at that time and deliver God's message, don't you think that we can? We got more than he's got. There's no excuse for not witnessing. God's spokesman was not just Moses. God's spokesman was us. Now, the script, God's script. He said in verse 2, thou shalt speak all that I command thee. The message was a message from God. It wasn't Moses' message, but God told him what to say. It was not Moses' words. Moses was the ambassador. The ambassador does not bring his words to another country. He brings the words of the president or king or the one that is authorized to send him. Moses and Aaron's message was God's own word. The message we take is not our own words. It is the word of God, the gospel. We are his ambassadors, taking his message, which is the gospel of God. It's so simple. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You never used to witness to people. You never knew. You didn't have to. But what happens when you get saved? People say, well, I can't do it. Wait a minute. God says all things become new. All these things are changed. Maybe you used to be super bashful and you couldn't talk to people before. God says you can now. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Word of God, you have that opportunity and ability given to you by God, and you have the Savior Jesus Christ. All things change, including the ability to take that gospel to the world. He said, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Every child of God has been given this ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. He explains it, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He said, we're just telling them about Christ. He came to this world to reconcile people, to redeem people, to save people. That's the message that we're telling them. And he said, we've given you that he's committed unto us that word of reconciliation. He's given us the gospel. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ did, be ye reconciled. What does that mean? Be revived. Do what God said. That, like Moses, he's out there and he is just making every excuse in the book that he can. I can't do this. I can't go. I can't talk to him. And that's what we do. We make every excuse in the book to not witness to people, to not share the gospel, not pass out tracts, whatever. In verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God is here to change our lives. And that is part of witnessing. That's why he says in Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world, that's the command, and preach, there's your power, the gospel to who? Every creature. The world. Over and over he says it. God was and is trying to bring the world to himself. He called believers to be his ambassadors. The Christians Paul's writing to had been reconciled as far as being saved, but they hadn't converted to Christ. Oh, they come to church once a week, but they're not witnessing for Christ. They're not taking on the ministry. It's not enough to know someone. You don't have a relationship that way. But you have to be with them. You have to be around them. You have to be involved with them in order to have that real personal relationship. This ministry as ambassadors takes on a whole new perspective. We're just not a citizen of the United States. When we're an ambassador, we have a responsibility. And as believers, as Christians, we have a responsibility. He's given us this ministry. We must go out and proclaim his message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's very simple. It's a very simple message that God loves the world. That's what he said. God was in Christ. All men are sinners. Why is he coming? Why is there a Christ, the Messiah? Because somebody has to come and save these people. Men are sinners. Sin must be paid for. That's why Jesus come, to suffer and die on that cross of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the one that paid our price. All of us know this. It's not that simple or not that difficult. It's very simple. But we don't share it. You take a normal independent Baptist church, and maybe in a church our size, you may have 10 people that's ever won somebody to Jesus Christ. Why? They're not witnessing. They're not witnessing. How many times have I always said, reach in your pocket or your purse right now. Can you pull out a tract? We don't carry them because we have no intention of using them. We don't realize we're an ambassador. And we're not in the ministry. We're not reconciled to Christ. Well, we're saved, but we're not reconciled to Christ. We're not taking our responsibility. And then, that if we believe and receive him as our Savior, he'll give us eternal life. That's a very simple message. As we give this to people, the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, that's why we write tracts. That's why I wrote these that I pass out all the time. They always tell me, you know, never ask somebody for a Christian because they're going to say, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, no, now what are you going to say? Most people that say they're Christians are not. And you give them this. And you can sit down. When I was over there and I'd busted up my legs and couldn't hardly get out of a chair. I took my crutches and went down to the ditch there by the street where we lived. And I'd sit in the ditch. And I'd just sit there with my Bible and my tracts. And people come walk along the street and I'd say, hey, come here. Let me give you something. Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah. And I'd start going through this with them, and I sat there in my ditch and led I don't know how many people to Christ. It's not that we don't know how, and it's not that we don't have the tools. We're just not accepting our ambassadorship. It's not important to us. It's not valuable, and we have to recognize the value of this. Now, God's plan starts, he gives us a caution here. God's plan starts with a command and given to his spokesman, who is given a script. We've already seen that. Moses' message also had this caution. Moses may have thought, as the Hebrews did, that when Moses approached Pharaoh, that Pharaoh's going to say, okay, everybody go home. And it didn't happen like that. And God warns him here. God could have said, yeah, I can let him out. And that's what Israel and that's what Moses expected right now, today, go. But that's not what God's plan was. And what we have to do is we have to rest in God's plan. Because in verse number 3, he tells us something. I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. It's not just going to be that little stick you're carrying that I'm going to throw down and turn into a serpent. And he said, when you go in, he said, he's not going to listen to you. And when he hardens his heart, I'm going to harden his more. He's not going to do what you said. But like most of us, we hear the message we want to hear and cut out the parts that we really don't. You know how that goes? He told Moses, he said, I'll harden Pharaoh's heart. There was no reason to be discouraged after he goes. And Pharaoh turns him down. Many times people say, okay, I'm going to try this witness and I'll go get a track. And they go out here and they start handing somebody and they say, no, I don't want it. And they, well, what good am I doing? I'm just going to go home. They don't want it. Or you'll come up somebody's door and you knock on the door. And, you know, we're from First Baptist Church. We'd just like to invite you to come to church. You go to church anywhere regular. And they just slammed the door. Well, forget this. This is crazy. I don't know what the pastor and these guys talk about all that. Look, God gives us a caution. They're not going to greet you with open arms. Neither was the Pharaoh going to greet Moses with open arms. God is working his plan. He was working on Pharaoh's heart, just as Moses and Israel. And that was part of God's plan. He said, I've raised Pharaoh up for this very purpose. God had a plan, and he's working his plan. And no by Pharaoh was part of God's plan. When you go and knock on somebody's door and they shut the door in your face, that's part of God's plan. Why? They're going to remember you were there. At least they know the church name. At least they know that somebody cares. How many people have I talked to and said, boy, I've never had anybody come to my house and tell me about God. The Catholics don't go out there door knocking. These other folks don't go out there door knocking. The Muslims, they just walk up and down the streets, basically. They don't go door knocking. We witness to people. We expect things to go perfect. And when they don't, we just throw up our hands and say, well, it's not worth it. It don't work. You don't understand how God works. God has a plan, and he is working in their hearts. I remember sitting down on front pews one day, me and this guy, and we were going back and forth on evolution and things like this. A year later, he walks in the church, walks down the aisle, and says, I want you to know I just got saved. He said, I never could get away from what you told me. That was a year before. He rejected everything I said. Just like Moses, Pharaoh rejected it. It's not yours to make them do what's right. It's ours to convey the message, and we have to rest in God's plan. Not get discouraged, not get down in the mouth, not saying it doesn't work. It does work. Did Moses' plan work? No. Did God's plan work? Yes. Did it work when Moses thought it should? No. And neither were yours. That's why we have to rest in God's plan. Because God was working on Pharaoh's heart. Paul faced opposition. Jesus faced opposition. They did nothing wrong. So don't beat yourself up and think everything has to go just right, or I must be doing something wrong. No, you're doing what's right. You're obeying God. You're taking the gospel out. You're giving the gospel. You're showing compassion. You are absolutely right. The Spirit of God is on you. God is working on their hearts, whether you see it or not. And God told us, just like he did Moses, that we'd have opposition. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 12, he said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye." Watch this very close. "For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. As you go out and they persecute or revile you or tear up your tract and throw it in your face or whatever, don't beat yourself up. The Spirit of God is on you." Why? Because you're obeying him. You've gone out and done exactly what he's told you to do. You're Moses. You carried the message. But they didn't receive it. Neither did Pharaoh. But you know the Spirit of God is on you. The power of God is working when you don't even see it. So don't get discouraged. Listen to what he said in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." Peter's saying that when things don't go the way we think they should, rest in God's plan. Just trust God and rejoice. Why? Because you're obeying God. You're doing what God said, just like Moses. And you know that God is working behind that door. He's working in the heart of that person. When they ripped up that track, they'll never forget it. Rest in God's plan. Don't get discouraged. The Spirit of God is on you. And I think we're just going to close there, because if I start this next point, we'd be here till Christmas. Amen? Father, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, may the Spirit of the Lord rest upon us. That Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might and of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, that we might obey you, that we will take your command as you've given us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Father, that we would take that message and boldly proclaim it, knowing that the gospel's the power of God, that the word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, the indwelling Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ in our heart, overcomes every difficulty and every problem that we have to present that gospel. You can calm our fears. You can work behind closed doors. Father, help us to simply rest in your plan. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.